since the body is evil, you might as well just go ahead and do evil things, because that's what we're here to do. You know, we can never attain in the spirit what we need to attain as long as we have this body. So you might as well just go ahead and do what you want to do. And so that was the issue that was facing the church.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the conclusion of There Are Some Things Worth Fighting For. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of There Are Some Things Worth Fighting For.
People in the church and trying to figure out what a Christian looked like. And then she left the church and she was looking through a magazine and she found this picture. And she said, Mom, she said, I finally figured out what a Christian looked like. And there was a picture of a donkey. Long face. Oh, man, we got these long face Christians. Oh, man. Man, this Christian life is something to enjoy. Man, I'm not saying we don't have trials and we don't have problems, but you can enjoy the Christian life. And so we need to enjoy it. But many people, much like Demas, think that you have to go out into the world to have a good time. They think that you got to sell your soul to the devil in order to have a good time. And so Demas went back. Demas was taken away from the faith. He was taken away from the assembly of the saints, serving God, doing the things that God would have him to do. And now he followed the way of the world. My. Man, all we need to do is look around here at Bethany. There's some folk that's not here. Why are they not here? Because they've gone the way of the world. The things of the world are more attractive to them than the things of the church, than the things of Christ. And so we're here to tell you, as Jude said, that, man, I wanted to write to you about this great salvation, but I couldn't. Because look at this. We got folk falling away. Now, there's people in here that are falling away. I'm going to visit some saints at Bethany. Look on their coffee table. Watchtower and Awake. Now, in case y'all don't know what that is, that's Jehovah Witness magazines. I'm thinking, like I said last week, man, you go to Bethany. You know, I'm finding out sometimes. Don't get me wrong, saints. But I'm finding sometimes that don't mean anything. That don't mean anything. It should mean something. Not that this is a premier church in the city of Pittsburgh. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. But man, one of the things that we really emphasize here is the hold fast to the truth. If we don't do anything else, you know, that's one thing that we really encourage. Hold fast to the truth. Don't believe a lie. Don't get sucked up in a lie. And people getting sucked up in it, falling away from the faith, following the things of the world, and then influenced not to walk in the truth. Look at the scripture says Jude, but that's actually 3 John. So I'm going to ask that you would turn to 3 John to show you how big of an issue this was in that day. 3 John. John had touched the lives of many people. John had a great influence in the lives of those individuals as far as bringing them into the faith so that they would know who Jesus Christ was and know what they needed to do to follow him. And so John writes this letter and he says in verse 3, he says, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now look at this, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And John said, there's all this foolishness out here, all this mess out here, all these nickel and dime preachers on TV, all this stuff that you read in these magazines. He said, all this stuff out here bombarding the saints, coming at them, it's easy for them to swallow it and begin to follow it. And John says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are still walking in the truth. Man, it does my heart so good. You know what? if the Lord, and I've said this before, and I want to say it again. You know, I realize that Bethany might not be the church for everybody. I understand that. There's no question about that. And that sometimes God might lead you away. No problem. But I'm saying this, you know, I'm sneaking this in before I make my point, all right? I'm going to sneak this in before I make my point. Now, at least write the pastor a letter. Let him know you're gone, all right? You know, I tell my kids now, you know, if you're gone somewhere, at least leave a note to let somebody know where you're at. You know, at least let somebody know where you're at. Pastor, you know, for obvious reasons, certain reasons, I'm no longer here. And you know what? Man, God bless you. God bless you. But you know, one of the things that I'd be even concerned about that more than anything else is if you left here and you just went to the First Side Bedside Baptist Church, where you were worshiping with Reverend Sheets and Pastor Pillow. You know, that would really, you know, that would really disturb me that you're not going anywhere. And I would say that, you know, it would do my heart great joy that if you left here and you went down with Brother Emil Glaze and hooked up with him and got into a good church, or you went up with Brother Matt Gray, or you went over there with Reverend Bill Ford, or you went over into Braddock with Brother Al Berkeley, or, yeah, there's other churches that, now the only reason I'm saying that, because I don't want to offend anybody else that might go to another church, and all those people have had some connection with Bethany or with me, so that's why I mentioned their names, but there are a lot of other good churches, all right? But I would have no greater joy than to know that you are still walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. Even if you're not walking here, walk somewhere. Amen. And then they influenced, these false teachers influenced the church of Pergamon to walk in sinful ways. Look in Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. He says here, "And to the angel of the church of Pergamum, write these things, saith he who hath the sharp sword with two edges. He said, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's throne is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells." But he says in verse 14, "But I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them there that hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." And then he tells them, "Repent, or else I would come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." This was a church. This was a church that was established and that was on fire for God. And what happened? They lost their zeal. They lost their fire because they let these false teachers come in. And now they're holding to all these strange doctrines. They're believing all these crazy things. And man, you just look at how easy it is for a church to become corrupt. It's just so easy. I mean, there's churches that's believing all kind of foolishness today. And they started out good. You know, you go back and look at the Ivy League schools. And I don't mean any offense to anybody that graduated from Ivy League school. Ivy League schools are good schools academically. But you know why the Ivy League schools were founded? For religious purposes. For Christian purposes. They were founded based upon the principles of the Christian faith. And you know what? You go to most Ivy League seminaries today, man, they're so far to the left that they're up in the bleachers. They don't believe in any. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the inspiration of scriptures. You know, they don't teach the deity of Christ. But they started out that way, and then they moved up. You know why? They did a study and found out that because, you know, somebody came in and began to challenge the thinking of people. Or The leadership changed, and the leadership began to accept that way of thinking. Y'all thank God that we have deacons in the Bible Institute. And one of the things that I know, that the deacons, not only in the Bible Institute, but deacons that are on this deacon board, I think I can say just about everyone to a man will fight down for the end, for the truth. They know what the truths are. And I don't think that, I mean, we've had situations where I've had the brothers come to me and say, well, what about this, pastor? What about that? And we've had to deal with some situations. And I thank God that there's that spirit. But I'm going to tell you what, if that spirit ever leaves, if we become more interested in finding somebody to entertain us, if we become more interested in finding somebody to ease our feelings about things, then we need to beware. Yeah, we need leaders that are going to fight for the truth of the faith. Look what it says under the object of the fight. He said, contend for the faith, or the teaching of the apostles. Now, somebody has listed, and you need to know these. You need to know these. What is the faith as we look at it today? Somebody said the faith are the fundamentals of the faith. The inerrancy of the Bible. We need to hold fast to the inerrancy that this Bible, as it was given in the original autographs, that God, when he gave it, he protected it from error. He protected it from any type of and see this once again, when we get these brothers now, and that's why I say, bring them in. I want to sit down and talk to them. I want to talk to them. This is where we get these brothers saying, well, you know, people put things in the Bible. When God put the Bible and he gave it, God, the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It didn't say it's given by inspiration of God with man interjecting the things that he wants to interject. Now, I tell you what, if you're here today and you got a problem with that, 412-242-3255. Call the secretary. I want to talk to you. If you got a problem with this word, if you got a problem with this word being the word of God, come on. I by the time you leave, you will understand that this is God's word. And if you got issues with it, then you're wrong. Yeah, that's right. I said it. You're wrong. And I want to sit down. Like, because I hear all this stuff floating in the background. Hey, you know what? This Bible really is not the word. You know, man put some stuff in there too. Well, you know what, man? Show me. That's that. Show me. Where is it at? Where does it say in here that man put something in here? Or show me where man put something in there. You're not going to find it because it's not in there. Now, you know, as we deal with translations, that's another issue. But when we deal with this book being the inspired word of God, there's no question about that. Look, the second thing, the virgin, and I don't like to say birth, but that's what we are accustomed to saying, the virgin birth, but really it's the virgin conception, or the as the Catholics would say, the immaculate conception, all right? Because that's where it is. You know, Jesus was not born of a human seed. He was born of God. And the most places where the cults, you know, go off, and where Christians go off is where they begin to not understand the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the deity of Christ. Here goes one right here. The deity of Christ. Christ was 100% God. He was 100% God. And there's no question about that. And yet and still, there are people that will argue this point and tell you that he was a prophet. He was on the level of Muhammad. He was a good man. He was a good teacher. And they put all these nice sounding things about Christ. But what Jude is saying, Jude has said there are some that have come in among us. And you probably heard him here say that Jesus Christ is not God. Earnestly contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. The substitutionary atonement, that Christ died in your place, that you should have been on that cross, and Christ hung in your place on your behalf. That's what the gospel is all about. You see, I'm the one that sinned. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. So Christ stood in our place. And if somebody comes saying anything else about that, if they say, well, you know, you got to speak it and it'll happen, that your words are the power and you can speak things into existence. See, when I start hearing that stuff right there, buddy, that's a little shaky right there to me. Cadillac.
Why stop there? Rolls Royce.
Not happening. Well, you got to give it time. You know, you got to have faith and you got to give it time. Well, you know what? I've been blessed. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jude said, contend for the faith. The bodily resurrection. That Christ didn't rise in spirit. He didn't rise in, even though he lives in our heart, he just didn't rise in our hearts alone. But there was the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he literally rose from the dead. If you don't believe that there's opposition to this, man, all you got to do is just talk to some people around this city. And you see that there's a lot of opposition. And these folk are in church. And some of them are even pastors. Some of them are even pastors. I've talked to pastors here in this city. Pastors of churches, if I called a name, you would know them. Who don't believe that Jesus bodily rose from the dead. I'm saying, man, what do you preach? They just preach that nice, comfortable gospel, that positive message. Salvation through faith alone. You know, what's that? Sola fide. Faith alone. Sola Christos. Christ alone. Yeah. You know, that's it. There's no other. Man, if you say, okay, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that he rose again, and I have accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and I've also been baptized. No, you're messing up. You added something. It's just like some of the good cooking that you saints have here. You know, once you cook the meal, you don't need Pastor Glaze to come along and add a little something to it. Your meal will stand all right by itself. And so it's the same thing here. If anybody comes and tells you anything else but Christ, I mean, it can sound good. Well, you know, you need to keep the golden rule. You need to follow the Ten Commandments. No. Well, here's one right here. I heard it right here. I've heard it here at Bethany Baptist Church. Well, you know, you need to join the church. No, you don't need to join no church. You need to accept Christ as your Savior. I don't want folk that are going to join the church. I want folk that already know Christ in their heart. Or come and say, I want to know him. And we can show you. And here goes one that, this is one that's highly debated, but it's the second coming of Christ. And that's what many have identified that as being one of the essentials. So if you look at, if somebody was to ask you the question, what are the essentials of the Christian faith? There they go right there. You as a Christian, I asked some people this morning. In our concept class, we have a whole lesson. Now, watch, some of y'all getting ready to tell on yourself now. We got a whole lesson. Now, people that have been in concept class should know this. If somebody was to ask you a question, why are you a Baptist? Well, because that's where my grandma's at. Or, here we go. Let's get spiritual. That's where the Lord led me. That's fine. But why are you a Baptist? What do Baptists believe? You know, there are seven distinct things about the Baptist denomination, seven of them, that make us Baptists. There are seven of them. If you want to know, next time I teach concept class, come on and get through, and we'll show you what the seven are. Seven of them. And so we need to, as we look at, well, what does it mean to hold to the Christian faith? Jude said, fight for the faith. What was he talking about here? Well, he might have had some other concept in his mind because we probably refined them a little bit more since then. But basically, that's what Jude is talking about. Those things right there. Man, you got, as a Christian, you can't waffle on these things. You can't waver on these things. I'm not going to question your salvation, But I'm saying that I would question your growth in Christ. If you got issues here, and really, if you got, let me say this, now I'm going to move on. If you got issues here, then you need to talk to somebody. If you got issues at any of these points, then you need to sit down and talk to somebody and get them straight. So at least if you got an issue, you'll know why you're wrong. They missed that, man. All right, let me close. Jude said, there's something worth fighting for. That there's something worth fighting for. How do you fight for the faith? First of all, you got to be equipped. You got to grow spiritually. If you're not growing spiritually, then you're not equipping yourself to fight for the faith. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Man, get the word up in you. Get to a place where you're being nurtured so that you can grow. Secondly, become familiar with doctrine. Well, what is doctrine? Well, look back on the other side of the page. That's doctrine. Become familiar with that. Study the word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that need not blush with embarrassment. When somebody comes and confronts you, you're like, oh, well, you know, I don't. Study. Now, you know I was going to put this one in here. Take apologetics course in the PLBI, right? Take a hermeneutics course in the PLBI. Had to put that in there. But what is apologetics? Apologetics basically tells you how to defend the faith. That when people start attacking the faith, apologetics helps you to be able to defend any attacks that come against the Christian faith. What is hermeneutics? Once again, tells you that a lot of people have gone off because they have interpreted scripture wrongly. But we want to teach you how to interpret it rightly. Then confront false teaching by testing what you hear in light of the scripture. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That after Pastor Glaze got finished preaching, they just didn't go home and have Sunday dinner and then watch the Tiger Woods on TV for the rest of the day. But they spent a little time looking at this outline and said, well, you know what? I'm gonna make sure that what Pastor Glaze said here was right. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. He's all right. See, man, y'all, you just can't accept everything Pastor Glaze says too now. I'm gonna be honest with you. You know, because that was the thing that Paul praised these Bereans for was the fact that they went and searched out what they had heard to see whether or not it was true. And, you know, a lot of people, well, Pastor Glaze said this. Well, don't go out there and quote something because Pastor Glaze said it. Go out there and quote it because you studied it and you found out that what Pastor Glaze said was right. And then you go say it. But just don't accept it. Search the scriptures so that you might grow. And you might be all that God would have you to be. Something worth fighting for. Contend for the faith.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of God Don't Play. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, there are some things worth fighting for. You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, there are some things worth fighting for. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, there are some things worth fighting for. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.